And good afternoon and welcome into Sports Talk. Hope you are doing well. It's a Tuesday, and that means Lauren Tate is here with me, Scott Beatty. We've got you till 6 o'clock. Coming up on the program, we will have an extended conversation with head coach Brad Underwood from Illinois Basketball, coming on the heels of yesterday's announcement about upgrades to the Ubben practice facility. And along the way as well, we might get to hear a little bit from Malcolm Hill, who is back as well, working out here in Champaign for a little bit after his trip to Europe, where he had his first professional season. Mr. Tate, good to see you, sir. How are you?
In 24 hours, have they announced any new buildings yet?
It's one a week is what we're doing, it seems like. Baseball and softball got announced, and we've got basketball this week, so I don't know what's next. They're talking about the hockey thing, and you just everything is he's going after it.
I can't total up that. I'd like to total up the amount, but of course it still has to be raised. And as I when I talked to Josh yesterday, he made the point. If we can get $30 million, we'll have a $30 million building. If we get 25 and feel that that's it, it'll be a $25 million building. Won't be the same building, quite.
Cut the bowling alley, I guess.
For the barbershop.
We'll dive into all that, but first let's get you caught up on today's headlines as we kick off Sports Talk. All the baseball teams of interest in this area are in action tonight. Cubs starting the second game of a series with Milwaukee up at Miller Park. Tyler Chatwood going for the Cubs, Chase Anderson for Milwaukee. Cubs have won 8 of 9 against Milwaukee this year. Had a 5-run 11th inning last night to get the 7-2 victory. And the Cubbies are 13 over 500. That's tied for a season best. And they're in first place for the first time since May 1st. Cardinals have San Diego to continue their 6-game homestand in the second game of a series. Miles Michaelis throwing for the Redbirds, 7-1 with a 2.27 ERA. Matt Stram going for San Diego. White Sox hosting Cleveland. In the NBA, reports are that Nick Nurse has become the next coach of the Toronto Raptors, Nurse replacing Dwayne Casey, who was fired after Toronto was swept from the second round of the playoffs by Cleveland. Nurse worked under Casey the past 5 seasons as an assistant. They're celebrating in Oakland. Golden blue confetti been raining down in downtown. Parade for the NBA champion Golden State Warriors celebrating 3 titles in 4 years in the NBA. And on the nation's capital, they're celebrating on the mall for the Capitals, who won the Stanley Cup and were leading chance of back-to-back, looking to next year. Captain Alex Ovechkin firing up the fans out there. Incoming freshman guard for Illinois basketball, Io DeSumo, playing in his 3rd game tonight for the under-18 squad for the country. Taking on Puerto Rico, he has a 9.5-point-per-game average and a team-high 4.5 assists per game, and has shot 8 of 11 from the field.
Am I correct? They led 43-0 in that game. 43-0.
Who did they beat?
Well, now you got me because I lost track, but I have to look it up, but when it's 43-0, I'm not going to worry about who the opponent was. It's non-competitive. That's obvious.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you follow the Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck is throwing again. It's been a long rebound for him. I'm going to come back to this Ubben complex announced yesterday, Lauren. In your mind, how necessary is it? Because the pitch is that this is a keeping up with the Joneses type thing, and a building that once was state-of-the-art is no longer.
Well, Lou Henson's great, some of his best teams in the 80s practiced in 3 different places around campus, including Huff, including Freer, I think, including, I think they might have even practiced at, I'm not sure about this, Parkland, but maybe not. But they practice all over the place. And one of the great teams I ever saw in high school was South Bend Central years ago. And they practiced in the hallways because they didn't have a practice, they didn't have a gym. So I have a hard time accepting this theory that the reason they were successful in the 2000s is because they built this building in 1998. I think Bill Self would have been successful if he practiced in in the driveways. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't deserve an opinion in this because I can't understand spending $30 more million on a practice facility. I mean, that's insanity. But everybody's doing it. I mean, everybody. It's up and down the line. It isn't like Illinois is doing something that nobody else is doing. They are, as you said, keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, I think it's an equalizing thing. You have to be on equal footing.
You have to.
Well, I think that's I'm speaking however I'm speaking. I'm not speaking. That's the thinking, is be on equal footing with everybody else so that whatever you want to make stand out about yourself and you're distinct about your program is not, hey, our facilities are worse. Let's make it whatever other selling points you want to have, be it the coaching staff, obviously, be it the fan base, the university, the history, all those other things.
Will the announcement of something that's not going to be here for at least 3 more years, will the mere announcement of it help the team? Because if the team isn't helped in the next 3 years, it isn't going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, your 2019 class, you know, might see it.
If you had a second straight losing season this year, I don't know when Illinois had back-to-back losing seasons, but... And then if you had 2 or 3 more, I mean, I don't think the construction of a building, I don't know how that would help. But, you know, I'm old-fashioned. I don't – all this gold doorknob stuff is just, you know, I don't like it, I don't think.
Lauren, I'm going to tell you, you may be old-fashioned, but it doesn't bother me, okay? Just so you know. I'm not threatened by your old-fashioned.
There is another – look, if they've got people out there that we don't know, and I will tell you we don't know, that want to spend $30 million of their money, okay. I mean, that's okay with me.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to do it, and I would say this, nobody is better than Josh. He really believes in this, and he'll raise the money. I don't think he would have gotten out this far in front if he didn't think they could raise the money. They're going to have a big fundraiser meeting with Colangelo and Jackson heading it up on Thursday in Chicago. They'll come out of there with some money.
I tell you what, Josh Whitman is not a guy that will fall on his face or come out with egg on his face, and he is too calculated to just come out willy-nilly if he doesn't have something in the works that he feels confident to put it out publicly.
Well, how do you feel about do you think it's a necessity?
It all seems like exercise is an extravagance from the outside looking in because you know, this is a world that none of us live in our day-to-day lives, right?
And there are people making money in Chicago that live in a world that we don't know about.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that can give you $1 million and not even blink an eye.
But I tell you who had an interesting opinion was Nancy Faye, the women's basketball coach, because she's coming from Division III program where the facilities aren't anything close to what you have at this kind of level. And I asked her, you know, does this look like kind of too much? And she said, it's absolutely needed because this is the game. Well, you know, those aren't her exact words. I'm paraphrasing, this is the game.
Underwood wants it badly. He feels it's really important. And, you know, I think that's what generated this move. It came on the heels of some other big moves, but in talking and hearing Howard Milton and Whitman talk about this sort of thing, the thing that they point out is that there are people, they don't go to donors and say, would you contribute to basketball? They go to donors and find out what the donor wants.
Mm-hmm.
And the donor leads this kind of thing. If they have donors that want to give to volleyball or donors that want to give to hockey, those are different donors than the ones that want to give to basketball or football.
Absolutely. Of course, they'll take money for the general fund anytime, but 356-9397 is the number to call if you want to donate to the oven. No, I'm just kidding. Don't call that. We're not raising a telethon here, but we're taking your calls. It's Alan in Montrose. Hi, Alan.
Hey, guys. Lauren, I've been thinking about this for the last couple days since the announcement came out, and you're right on the money. I don't see – this building is only 20 years old. I don't know how much it cost then, but they haven't gotten near the money out of this building that they should. And really, is it going to help all that much? The first 10 years, maybe it did. The last 10 years, it hasn't helped a whole lot. I don't see the new football upgrades being a significant help with these new buildings and everything all that. I just think I'm glad I don't have tax money into this at all. I'd really be upset about this.
Well, this is not tax money.
I know that. I understand that.
I mean, this is going on all over the place. I mean, you can go to Texas, you can go to Colorado, you can go to California, you can go to anywhere. I mean, they've all got Illinois is just catching up and going ahead, and then a bunch of schools will then catch up and go ahead of them later.
Yeah, it's like you said, you don't want to be the ones that don't have it.
It's you're chasing your tail. You know, you can't catch up.
I mean, I think Alan raises a fair point. Like, okay, in 20 years, is the facility going to be outdated? But from the conceptual renderings, mind you, you look at it and you go, how could that become outdated? Because it looks spectacular. But I'm sure when Ubben's drawings were released back in 19 whatever, that looked like phenomenal.
It was.
And you walk in there, it's the same when you walk into the recruiting lounge under the north end zone and you look down in this huge weight facility that is as wide as the stands are in the north end zone underneath that whole thing. You look down there and go, yeah, well, okay, nobody could get better down there. I mean, that's obviously inadequate,
this
right?
This is all about practice.
We're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice.
Whitman has pointed it out, though, before. When he was in the NFL, NFL teams would pump money into whatever would help the team be better. This isn't all about the team being better, although that's a big part of it. It is about flash, and it's about attracting recruits to
which make
here.
You better. If you attract recruits, that makes you better. I mean, that's
yeah, not going to help you shoot better. But
I mean, his whole idea on the football facility is that it will attract football players that will make the football team better. That's if he builds better, if he improves the east stands, that'll help the fans, but it won't help him get more players or make the team be better. That's why that's been delayed. The fans come secondary.
Back to the phones, 356-9397. Mike is in Champaign. Your thoughts, Mike?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know what? Alan is 100% wrong, in my opinion. It is all about the facilities. Kids go to different schools because of the facilities. And surprisingly, the uniforms, that was a big part as well. I mean, look at the golf program, for instance. I mean, they have a state-of-the-art program. They draw the elite players in the country to Champaign, Illinois, where it's cold for 5 months out of the year. You know, facilities make the difference. And, I mean, people just unfortunately need to realize that that's got to be a part of it. Lauren's right. We are going to be chasing our tail and be behind the times.
Almost.
Well, no matter. As soon as you do something, you're behind the times. By the time you get it built, somebody else, you know, it takes 3 years to build it. By the time you get it built, somebody else got a new idea. I remember when Illinois moved into this thing, and I heard Michigan, I might have it wrong, but Michigan, all of a sudden, they had a facility where in practice they had television screens on both ends, so and the coach could stop a play instantly and point to the screen and show the guy the mistake he made. You know, and I thought, well, that's a new one. You know, actually filming the practice and live at the time.
There was something that Kevin Hambly used to do as volleyball coach for Illinois, and perhaps Chris Thomas does it as well. And he would purposely, early on in this tour, show recruits the basement of Huff and basically say, if you don't want to be in this, then I don't want you. He liked that he was bringing in players who didn't care about the kinds of facilities, that there was no flash, that were there to work and have tough grit. But at some point, that runs out. It just does. If everybody else is too far ahead of you. Now, how far behind is Ubben? I don't know. Again, you look at that place from an outsider, you look and you go, well, seems fine to me, but I'm not in that world every day.
Oh, they're going to update so many things. They're going to update the weight training area. They're going to update the medicine area. It's going to be fancy.
I tell you what, though. Adam Fletcher, strength and conditioning coach, and his counterpart, Kylie, for the women's team, their office is shared, and it's a closet. It used to house a vending machine, and they are cramped. So there is definitely legitimate that they need some more space. You know, how much more? I don't know. But they're going to do it. Maybe.
Well, if the money's there, I say it's okay. But it seems to me that It's extreme. It's awfully extreme. Everybody's extreme. I mean, if you go to Louisville and check out the basketball operation, it's just ridiculous.
A caller is asking offline if what was the point of keeping Assembly Hall if we were just going to start to rebuild facilities? I don't really understand that has to do with anything else.
You couldn't destroy the Assembly Hall. It's a 50-year-old building that had...
it's iconic.
Yeah. You can't destroy it, and you can't build next to it. That makes no sense to have two buildings side by side like that. So what are you going to do? The best situation was all those places like Wisconsin and Michigan State that had field houses that they simply tore down. You couldn't tear down what is now the State Farm Center.
No. All right, one more. We got Bob in Champaign. Hey, Bob.
Hi. Hey, I'm jumping in late on this conversation, so I don't know if this has been mentioned, but, you know, do kids go to Duke because of facilities, or do they go to Kentucky because of facilities, or do they go because of Sesefsky and Calipari? Did the kids come to Illinois because of it, or did they come to Illinois because of Bill itself? Yeah, I think those coaches are worth their weight in gold, and that's why they get paid what they get paid, because they and their assistants attract people, and they want to play for those coaches.
I see your point. I see your point, Bob, but I don't think you necessarily win the top recruit with the facilities, but you can lose them without them, I think is the crux of the argument. Does that make sense?
It does, but we're spending money. You know, we remodeled Memorial Stadium, and I'm not up on all the facilities and everything, but we downsized the size of the stadium, put in luxury boxes. Well, we're at a point where we're getting less people than ever, practically, at football games. And the facilities didn't draw kids to the program. It would have been the coaches, I think. And, you know, I think a winning program perpetuates a winning program, and you got to somehow break that cycle. I'm not sure it's through facilities, but if it helps, that's great. But somehow you got to break the cycle of losing and get into winning, and then things will kind of fall in place, I think.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks for calling in, Bob. We welcome you to do that again. And again, you know, if Mike Krzyzewski is here, or Bill Self, or any of the other those top-notch coaches are here, that is not a criticism of Brad Underwood, but a name like that, yeah, maybe the recruits just walk in with no matter what you have. But you have to have these facilities to win these recruits. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's reality.
Well, there's a lot of things to consider. The success of Bill Self, how much of that success stemmed from the fact that Peoria had really good basketball? We wind up with three members of their multiple championship team. Three starters on our team played in Peoria. And we had an end right there. And that got the ball rolling. That's how we broke that cycle of losing. And the losing wasn't near as bad as it is now. But I think that Bill had a special ability to recruit, and I think it's fair to say that Weber didn't have that same ability. He inherited great players from Bill and won 37 games and lost 2 one year in 2005, but gradually it got away from him because of the inability to bring in the five-star athletes.
Now, would the rosters under Bill Self look vastly different if Ubben hadn't existed? I don't know, but it didn't hurt to have it, is my point.
Didn't hurt, but it...
Is it $30 million worth?
If you twisted my arm behind me and said, Lauren, did that make the difference? I'd say no. That's me. But I can be wrong, and everybody else can be right.
I know, but I've learned that you're usually right.
No.
Not always right.
I'm not suggesting that Whitman shouldn't do what he's doing because he has got a line on the money and it's going to be donor-driven. Therefore, if they got the money, I guess they can do anything they want to with it. But, yeah. I mean, if you're going to try to tell me that's going to make the difference in winning and losing, I just don't get it.
Well, we're going to hear
but
from...
I don't know how young people think anymore either. I'm not 25 years old anymore, or 18 years old anymore.
Yeah, I don't know how those young people think
important.
Either.
As Mike said, it's important to them. They care about the jerseys. They care about these different facilities. Yeah. Okay.
We're going to bring you our conversation with Brad Underwood. He is watching Iota Sumu tonight. So he was kind enough to lend us some time yesterday after all of this announcement, and we will dive into much more than just the Ubben Complex. We'll ask him about the front court needs, Iota Sumu, the schedule, and much more. So hear from Brad Underwood with Lauren and I when we come back. Sports Talk with Scott Beatty, that's me, and Lauren Tate. Yesterday, an extended conversation that we had with head coach Brad Underwood touched on a variety of topics, starting with this Ubben upgrade announcement. Here's our conversation.
Well, Brad, the upgrades to Ubben, certainly exciting for you and for the women's program as well. You know, there's an element to which you look at this stuff and go, how can what you currently have be inadequate? But I know that's not the way you look at it. What does it do for you?
Well, I think the one thing is you understand that in 1998 when this was built, the impact that it had on the program. And you look at that early run in 2000, and there's a direct correlation to a 2005 national championship. It does impact recruiting. So many things have changed from the technology standpoint. The treatments are completely different now than we used to do, and more sophisticated. Staffs have grown bigger. We've added a tremendous impact on the academic side in terms of APR and the way we monitor academics. And then you look at you know, the nutrition piece here in the last 4 or 5 years has become a very prominent piece. So, giving our athletes the best opportunity on a day-to-day basis to achieve their dreams, and then to help our staffs function, and our staff has grown. There are great deals in 20 years. So, you know, being in a space that is allows us to do that is something that we're excited about, and yet it gives our athletes the best opportunity to be the best they can possibly be.
The hiring process for you was pretty quick. Was that a part of the conversation? Did Josh pitch to you that we're going to do something, or was this something that you sort of advocated for once you got here?
Well, I think that you're always evaluating. That wasn't a big part of it. People need to understand, when you're one of the top programs in the country, and Illinois is, you know, I was excited to be their basketball coach, and I knew the commitment that had been made to the State Farm Center and updating that, and that's one of the outstanding facilities, not just in the Big Ten, but in the country. You know, I think when you start to you know, having to make some changes, and Josh is so dialed in with facilities and giving our student athletes the best opportunity to win and be successful. You know, some things were needed to happen, and he's pushed that pedal, and that's why Josh is as good AD as there is, and he's got a great pulse on that, and excited to be a part of that.
We're talking with Brad Underwood, head basketball coach for U of I men's basketball.
Before we get off Josh here, are you a little bit astounded to see what he's doing or attempting to do for hockey, for basketball? Football, $79 million. Soccer, track. We've already got great programs in tennis and golf. I mean, the guy just is relentless, isn't he?
Well, I have tremendous appreciation for that. And that's one of the exciting things about, you know, that made my decision very easy. Lauren was, you know, you've got a guy that isn't afraid. And he's not afraid of a challenge. And we have unbelievable fans. We have an unbelievable alumni base. We're the second largest living alumni in the United States. And we have an extremely proud and one of the best academic institutions in the United States. So it's only fitting that those things should fall in place. And when you play in an elite conference, as we do in the Big Ten, you know, those are things that that help you compete at the highest level. And again, I think that Josh has got a great pulse of that. I think he's got a tremendous understanding of competing at the highest level, and that's exciting to be a part of.
Let's switch to basketball. How do you respond when people say, "Oh boy, that center position looks thin"?
Oh well, you know, I think more people make. I think it's a lot about trying to understand how the game's changing. I think it's about trying to understand how we play and what we're about. My leading rebounders for most of my career have always been my small forwards. We've always been one of the top rebounding teams. It's something I don't worry about a lot because we emphasize and we demand that guys rebound. I'm not as concerned with size as I am length and athleticism and guys that have a skill set. I think the game's very hard to play today when you put players on the floor who can't make a basket. We've worked very hard at recruiting that. Now, is there value in some size? Absolutely. I really like the guys that we've got coming in. We've spent a good amount of time recruiting them. We know how they fit our piece. But, again, I always look at it the other way. If we had 100, I think it was 156 fewer post-ups against us than anybody else in the Big Ten. And that's because of the way we play defense on the perimeter. Our best post defense is our perimeter defense. So I'll take that. And I didn't think we were very good defensively on the perimeter. It's something that's allowed me to not necessarily have to get consumed with playing size. I look at it the other way. Now they got to go chase us around and figure out how to guard us in different areas. So it's I think it's all in perspective in the way you look at it.
Does that mean – are you trying to do something that – few others are trying to do at this level in the Big Ten or the other power conferences?
Well, Kansas made it to the Final Four with LeGerald Vick at 6'4 as their power forward. Villanova started three – well, I don't want to say they started because they brought DeVincenzo off the bench, played three point guards. Their center was 6'8". I think we're seeing it the way the game's changed. Look at Loyola, made it to a Final Four and I've known Clayton Custer since he was a freshman in high school. He's young. I mean, he's 5'9", 5'10", and Ben Richardson's 6'1". I think it's the game's about IQ. The game's about passing. It's about being able to score. Golden State's done that at the highest level, at the NBA. I don't know who their point guard is, and I don't know who their center is. So I think it's the game's changing. From that sense, in terms of style, the three-point line's becoming – teams are attempting many, many more of them. The percentages continue to rise. So players are getting more comfortable with it. And the shot clock has impacted the game a great deal, going from 35 to 30. That's basically a ball reversal or two that happens less. It's a game that is that's evolving. So we've got an idea what we're trying to do, and we're excited about the guys we've got coming in to do it. And we're always going to be a guard-heavy team. I don't think you can win without guards. And if I had a choice, I'd much rather be without size than point guards.
You know, when you mention teams, you should go back to the 2005 Illinois team. They reached the Final Four.
Absolutely.
And really their center was the only – I mean, he was – I'd say 6'9", maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
Correct. And, Darren Luther and D could all handle the basketball and create a matchup, and it's about matchups, and the game is very simple. If you can create a matchup where you force the other team to have to help and support, and then it becomes spacing and your ability to make shots, that's what excites me about this group is we've got guys who can make others better, and we've got some guys who can make shots.
Bring you the second part of our conversation with Brad Underwood in just a moment. We'll get into Io DeSumo and the schedule as well. Stay with us on Sports Talk. Sports Talk here on this Tuesday. Scott and Lauren with you, continuing with our sit-down conversation with men's head basketball coach Brad Underwood. We get into some other topics now, including Io DeSumo and the schedule.
Brad Underwood here with us on Sports Talk. Io DeSumo playing in Canada tonight. How important is this experience for a guy like him to be on this national team doing the FIBA competition?
Well, I think any time that you're afforded the luxury of putting on a jersey that has the red, white, and blue and USA on the front of it, that's almost another level type deal. And I told him, this morning, I said, you guys got to win the gold medal. I said, I want to see that medal, and I want to get a picture with it. To me, that's there's no experience like that. He's doing that with a group of guys who are the 12 best in this country at his age. That's an unbelievable honor to do that in a different country, in a different place, even though it's just Canada up the road. He's experiencing something that he'll never forget for the rest of his life. And with that comes a confidence and a swagger that will help on this campus and help him with his teammates and help him ultimately grow to be the best he can be. So it's an unbelievable experience all the way around.
I've read that he has revamped his shot. What do you know about it?
Yeah, I think he's got his release point a little higher, and he's worked really hard at that. I think he's worked very hard at trying to clean up some footwork issues that he needed as well. But that'll be a continuing piece the rest of the summer is to make that a muscle memory deal, just tons of reps, and he'll do that. No one works harder than Io in terms of getting in the gym. That'll be exciting because he becomes that lethal three-point shooter. He's going to be impossible to guard.
Real quick, what's your plan as June rolls around here? How much time you have with the players? What do you intend to do with that time?
Yeah, and things have changed, Lauren. It's a great question. We've gone from 2 hours in the past. We've had 2 hours of individual work to having six with strength and conditioning. Now they've changed that. We still have an 8-hour total, but now we get 4 hours with them. And so we're going to have 4 hours of work with our guys. We'll have little short mini practices, about an hour apiece. There'll be a little emphasis, very, very heavy emphasis on our fundamentals and our foundation stuff. We've got to clean up some things that are just the simple fundamental things. We'll do a lot of that in June. We're going to do a ton of shooting, and then we're going to do something that we haven't been able to do. We've never been able to really watch pickup, it's not been allowed to do that. So we're going to play a lot of 3-on-3 and 4-on-4 with restrictions. And what I mean by that, we're going to put rules on them that they can and can't do. So we try to develop a little chemistry. So then Fletch will have him, and we know he's the best in terms of doing what he does in the weight room. So we'll have a nice little change this June, and then we'll still address July. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with July when you start factoring in recruiting Wednesday through Sunday and how we'll break that week up yet. But I'm excited to get a little extra time with these guys. That's going to start on Wednesday.
I know you're thinking recruiting-wise about 2019, 20, and 21, but still 18 with three open scholarships, and a lot of folks want to know, are there going to be any more pieces added to this squad? I know you can't say anything about specifically, but can you speak at all to the likelihood of additions to the roster?
Yeah, and I think that that's always a topic. Whether we use them all, I don't know. I'm not concerned really with that one way or the other, whether we use them all. It's hard to play 13 guys and it's depending on what we do here down the last scholarship or two, fifth year or high school, will depend on how many seniors we have. So I always want to be able to have an opportunity to not tie our hands, so to speak, with the next class, with Aaron Jordan being our only senior. So I would like to think that we'll probably leave one open for sure, and we'll continue. Recruiting never stops. It's an everyday process, and there's still so many options out there, and that's the never-ending world of recruiting today.
Post-NBA draft, does that possibly open up some doors too?
Sure. I think you've got a lot of that. You've got guys that are had to make their decisions where they were coming. You've got guys that are potential. Still trying to figure out if they're graduates, if they're going to be summer graduates, if they want to go back. Every summer there seems to be one coaching change that triggers things. So, I think you've still got a lot of opportunities out there, and we got a great staff who's working extremely hard, and we'll keep our ear to the ground on all that.
before we let you go, I want to ask you about the schedule. Is there an element to this year's schedule where you go, great schedule, could we just delay that for one or two more years because you have such a new group?
Lauren's got to love this schedule. I mean, he's got to be the happiest guy in the world. We're playing everybody under the sun.
I know, but it's tough on the when you don't have a veteran team. You'd like to have a veteran team to tackle this schedule. What, 27 really tough games?
Yeah, and I think that there's no doubt we're going to see the best in the country. We recruit under that premise that I've said it since I took the job at my press conference. We're going to play people here. And regardless, you know, you can look at Duke or Arizona or whoever and Maui. I don't know who we play. Duke's going to be young. Arizona's going to have new faces. And it's kind of the culture of the world today. So I'm not concerned about youth. I'm concerned about chemistry. And we do have some talented pieces. And I think we've got guys that want to play against the best. And to be one of the best programs in the country, whether you're young or not, I think you have to have an attitude that you're going to go out and you're going to take on all comers. And we've got a great home schedule. We bring a UNLV team in that'll be talented. We've got Georgetown at home. We've got a great opponent, one that should be exciting, in Notre Dame in the ACC Challenge. Obviously, Missouri. And our other non-league games are extremely competitive. So, you know, I think it's a great schedule. One I'm excited about. Are there going to be some dings? Probably. Realistic, you don't win them all. But I think it's a great opportunity to help prepare us for the 20 Big Ten games we're going to play.
Yeah, and you're going to play two of those Big Ten games early, and you're going to play one in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I think it's. I think it'll bring a great. It'll make the United Center game kind of an exciting piece again, and having a quality opponent in there and our fans there. It's important we play there. We do get two of them in December. I'm still not sure how I feel about that. Those games, to be very honest, it is what it is. I like the timing because students are on campus and students are around, and yet it is awful early. And we play a compact schedule with a lot of non-conference games, just coming back from Maui, and then we go to Notre Dame and then two Big Ten games. So it is what it is. And I know one thing, we're going to try to put a team together that's ready every single night to go out and compete. And I'm excited to get this group, and led by the Aaron Jordans and the Kiepernickels and the Trent Frazier's and this group. And we're going to throw them up and get after them.
Brad, it's a 365 job now. Every day of the year you're working. We appreciate you carving out a bit of time with us.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, guys.
So thanks to Brad Underwood, and yeah, that schedule, I still go back and say this upcoming schedule would be a lot better a year from now, I would say.
It's the toughest schedule maybe ever. Maybe ever. And I say that because you've got 20 Big Ten games, which you never had before. You've got a Maui tournament that you've only – I mean, usually there's at least one patsy in that thing.
It's like a Final Four.
And it's, yeah, and there's no patsies. And then you got Notre Dame, you got Georgetown. I mean, how do you get a tougher schedule than that?
Don Harden once said, if you don't see any patsies on your schedule, you're the patsy.
<That's right.
laughs> Uh-oh. Back in a moment. Wrapping up Sports Talk here, a couple of texts have come in. Thank you on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. A 317 texter says, Underwood's post-up stat is misleading about being very good at keeping opposing teams from posting up. He says opposing teams didn't need to post up to get close looks at the basket. They took advantage of the overplaying on the perimeter and ran a layup line on backdoor cuts.
Some did. Certainly Michigan State did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's for sure. And 618 texture, going back to our facilities discussion, and the Ubbin says, good athletic departments don't let facilities go unimproved for decades. They update much more frequently. I just don't know that you can do this kind of thing every 20 years. This is pretty big. Whatever this is got to have only minor improvements in the coming years after it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry I even got involved in this discussion because I don't understand replacing something after 20 years. 20 years seemed like an awful short period of time, but everybody's doing it, so You got to do it.
It's a good thing nobody's replaced you after 20 years.
Well,
you would have been replaced three or four times.
I have been several. I've been replaced several times.
Hey, many thanks to Brad Underwood for joining us for an extended period of time. Really do appreciate it. If you did miss the conversation, it'll be a podcast at our website along with the entire program as well. Tomorrow, spotlight a few Hall of Famers coming up this weekend. The great Jim Grabowski will be our guest. Also, scoring leader for Illinois soccer heading into the Hall of Fame, Tara Herlis, local resident as well, will join us. So we'll do a little of that tomorrow, Hall of Fame spotlight heading into the Hall of Fame weekend. Lauren, thanks as always.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Blake Landa, behind the scenes. Most of all, thanks to you for listening. Appreciate the calls and texts as well. We'll do it again tomorrow. Maybe bring you a little Malcolm Hill also. It's News Talk 1400, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana News Gazette Media Station. Good night.